once you say good, then all that's okay.
Yeah, and I may add, I said yesterday that you have an exchange agreement with Waseda University, so you don't have the first year Swedish today, but anyway, then there's also similar possibilities.
Yeah,
IIT, you can start and on. Also the other way around. That
yeah, yeah.
If you are here from India or from Japan, are interested in stay in Norway, then you're welcome to come here.
And now,
please.
Yeah. Thank you, Professor Christian, for the introduction. And I'm from IIT Hyderabad. There are around 23 Indian Institute of Technologies. Up to 2008, there were only 6 of them. And after that, many IITs have started because to enhance the higher education quality in India. I used to work in one of the older IITs prior to 2012. Close to Delhi. Now I am working in one of the new IITs. We called the 2G, second generation IITs, which started in 2008. And I'll just give very brief one and a half minute introduction about our place. Okay. And we started only in 2008, and with 111 students. Only 3 undergraduate programs, no postgraduate program at that time. And cutting short, after 10 years, we have 13 departments, full-fledged department, and 2 virtual departments, 15 departments. One virtual department is engineering science. Another virtual department is artificial intelligence. Okay, so, yeah. And then, plus, presently, we have first faculty joined IIT Hyderabad in 2009 July. And then after 9 years, we have around 210 faculty today. And then 10 undergraduate programs, MS in all departments, PhD in all departments, and close to 3,000 students. We started from the way one of the great institutes like MIT started from the barracks of World Wars and all that. We also started from some barracks, in one sense. Some of them you have seen when we were there. But now we moved to our permanent campus, so which is around 575 acres. And then we have very strong collaboration with Japan. And Professor Takata visited our place under that, actually. And then there is a national institute ranking framework within India. Although we started 10 years back, last 3 years, consecutively, we are in the 7th, 9th, 10th ranks. So very fast growth has taken place as far as IIT Hyderabad is concerned. Now, as I mentioned, there is IITH-Japan collaboration. So you can clearly see the Japan funding to the tune of 250 million. 7 iconic buildings designed by Japanese architects, mainly from University of Tokyo, Professor Ono and others. And very active student and faculty exchange programs between the India and Japan. There are around 12 institutes with which we have basically consortium agreements between them. And several buildings to come up with Japanese support, R&D collaboration in the 5 areas. One of them is the design and manufacturing, and other 4 areas you can clearly see here. And then, not only the academic exchange, there is a cultural exchange as well as with the Japanese things. We have basically Japanese course taught by Japanese faculty at IIT Hyderabad. Many of our students do that course. And even some faculty come for 10 days, 12 days, and offer a very short courses on various aspects. And they're all happening at IIT Hyderabad. Now, in These are the buildings ready now. These are the dormitories where each floor 32 students stay. And then there are many of them. Around 2,000 students can stay now. And then in another 3 to 4 years, we are going to add another the dormitories for another 4,000 students. That's exactly the plan is. Presently, we have three blocks ready, this block, and this block. I put the enlarged picture of that block here. This is where the most of the most of our department, basically mechanical and aerospace, is located within that. That's why that block is kept there. So, but if you come next year, when we have the in-man meeting, you will be seeing a lot of construction activity once again. Because we have to expand by 2022 to by 6,000 students. So that's where from 2,000, 3,000 to 6,000 students, a lot of construction activity is on. Okay, that's the thing you will be seeing in the campus. Now I'll go back to the materials selection aspects. Although the title is mentioned, material selection and recycling, but I have not kept that recycling in title because when I started putting the material together, if at all I had to go to recycling, I may not able to do justice for both, but I kept one or two slides at the recycling at the end, emphasizing some of the aspects. Now, as you all know, that my talk is more going to be towards the mechanical flavor because of the background which I have in that direction. Okay, that we cannot always detach from our even lecturing. I hope you all understand that. Okay. So now, we all know that if at all an engineering process, you all have gone through this particular chart in many books. I might have modified one or two words here and there. Where you start from product requirements, design synthesis, where you put them together, design representation, you do a lot of analysis, you evaluate it, there is an iterative process, and then the manufacturing planning comes, and the execution comes. There also you have to go back and do the design synthesis once again, then you will be coming to inspection, assembly, and all those things. I'm only covering about engineering process product evaluation. But now, yesterday, both Professor Kalra and Professor Takat and everyone touched on the life cycle design aspect as well, and then circular manufacturing aspect as well. That's why I've not put most of those slides. Okay. Now, if you see the life cycle considerations in product design, and everything was touched yesterday from starting from need to product design to manufacturing assembly to recycling. But when you are doing this, there are many other things which will be interacting two-way with all these things while making the decisions. It's not just it will be environment is interacting only with the production. Production is not only the recycling, but it will be there will be a two interaction between the outer circle elements and inner circle elements. That's when we can go to the optimization thing as far as the material selection is concerned. But now, as we all know, the design is the first step which we'll be doing in all the things. And now there's a rule of 10 in manufacturing, as some people call it as a rule of 100. We all know if at all if something could be done at the initial stage, if you not done there and not taken care of that, you allowed it to go the next stage, it will cost either 10 times that cost or 100 times that cost depending on that. Now, similarly, if you allow that to go to another stage, there will be additional cost which will be, if you want to rectify at a later stage, we see that. But similarly, if you see these aspects, but these are some representative figures, not exact, but it will show you the overall sense in one way. You may be incurring only 5% of the cost or 10% of the cost at the product design stage, but you will be forecasting a shadow of 70 to 80%, sometimes 90% of the commitment you make at that stage. Similarly, you might select some material. Our material cost may be 50%, sometimes 30%, but the shadow will be less, the labor cost, overhead. So whatever the decisions you take at this stage, which will be casting a lot of shadow on the downline applications, whichever you have to do it, that we all know from our earlier courses. And then you all might be aware of this book, The Design for Manufacturability Assembly by Boothroyd. Okay. It is a very well-known subject in every university. Okay, Now, if you go through this, where you have to emphasize those aspects, the design concept to the design assembly, and then selection of materials and processes early in the design for manufacturability, and then cost estimates, best design concept, but the way they interact are represented here. Okay. And then here the emphasis is only on assembly and manufacturing, but other aspects of life cycle are not considered. Okay. Now, if whenever you are developing a new product, I'll quickly go through this. Like, what are the various success factors you will consider? What are the features which are present in that? And what will be the price of it? That always you will be interested in. But the quality, response, and sustainability are also very, very important ones. And then the simplest design which meet the requirements is the best one. Okay. But here, the main thing is that there is a minimum allowable thing whenever you are designing a product. There is a maximum feasible thing in that which we can achieve. But you will be compromising on some of the aspects and then trying to fit in your design within those limits. Okay. So that's the way one will be doing whenever we are going for a design thing. Okay. Now, you all maybe might have gone through these books. The rest of my material, whatever you are saying, is collated from mainly Professor Ashbess, group of Cambridge, okay, where he did a lot of work on the material selection for mechanical design, for eco-design, for recycling related aspects in collaboration with mainly whatever the yesterday's speakers, Professor Clara and Professor Takata was mentioning, and others were mentioning about the MacArthur's Foundation, and then there is a Life Plus, and then other organizations, which Granta Design, which is owned by Professor Ashbess' group. Now, you all know this definition, okay, and this is taken from mainly from the material selection point of view, as well as other aspects, as well covered in this. Okay, but now, I don't have to get into the details of this, but everyone knows about these aspects from our basic engineering courses. But what kind of detail you get to whenever you are going through the design process is an important aspect. Now, if you see that the concept level, data of all materials, but you look for basically which will be suitable set of materials needed there. It's a very low precision. You'll not be getting into very specific thing. But when you get into the embodiment level, okay, where you'll be looking at data of subset of materials and then more precision-oriented information which can be used, you will be looking into that. And obviously, depending on the level which you are going down, the tools, design tools you will be using also will be, the complexity of them also will be increasing. Okay. Then, finally, when you come to the detailed design, the data of one material, I don't want to agree with that, but always is. Okay? There may be a set of 3-4 materials, finally, some intervention may be necessary at that, maybe 10 materials. Okay. Maybe putting in. Coming up directly with one material may be sometimes difficult in many of the designs. Okay. So then the product specification thing. So this particular thing is taken from their website, Granta Design. But whenever you are looking at the design also, we also have to be aware what we are doing. Whether we are doing the original design, where we all know from magnetic tape to 3.5-inch floppies to CDs to the technology entirely and then Blu-ray, whatever it is, then the game is entirely different. Okay. And then most of the times, okay, this happens occasionally but not every day. Okay. But this will be happening every day live. Okay. Where taking the existing product and seeks an incremental advance in performance to refinement of working principles and selecting the things and then designing, modifying, everything. That is a very, very important thing which will be happening in every day thing. And then another thing is the variant design, where this is also very, very
important. This also does not happen every day. Okay? Where the desktop to laptop to whatever we can handle everything in my phone today and then do all the cloud computing and all those. Okay? You don't have to carry anything heavy. The variant design. So this also plays a lot of role whenever you are selecting some of these materials. Okay. Now, vocabulary of design, you all aware, but the thing is just to complete. Okay. Now, the main thing, what I wanted to emphasize is the iterative process. It's not a the thing you have to work. And now, generally, sometimes you say that the device for performing task X is needed. But the task X, maybe many of them may be included even in that X itself. Okay. Now, see, actually, whenever you are selecting the material, although we are talking about the material selection, but the process selection also is interrelated to that. What manufacturing process you are going to use to process that, that's interrelated. Although I skipped a lot of stuff related to that, there is a fantastic book by K.G. Swift, which is written around 2010 on the process selection, and then further modification is done. Now, materials have played a role in human life since the beginning. And now we always called the Stone Age, Bronze Age, Iron Age, you know, the molecular age, whatever it is you talk. It's always related to the type of materials which is getting exploited at that point of time. Always the human evolution, that's how it is done. Okay. Now, today if you see, this is directly taken from Ashby's book. 160 plus materials are available if at all you wanted to scan through all materials, but we don't have to scan through. Sometimes we know that we have to use either aluminum or titanium, or you know, we have to use steel, but from there you'll be getting in. But if at all you wanted to scan this, and every day new materials, new compositions are getting added. So until unless you have that data at your fingertips, it's very difficult to exploit the new materials as well. And then material selection is a systematic elimination. It's not a selection, basically. This is the point which will, the very, very important aspect, systematic elimination of those that are not suitable for that particular intended application. That way you can zero in on the things which you have to exploit, and then where you have to get into the deep to understand which one is better. That's one of the aspects. The material selection is an integral part of the design that we all know. There's nothing to. Now, what do engineers need to know to do this successfully? Okay. Now, a perspective of all the materials and then the processes which can be used to process them. That's also a very, very important thing. They are basically interrelated in one way. And whenever you are doing this, the properties and their origins, where from they originate, what alloying elements, what sort of, basically, if at all you are thinking in terms of eco and recycling aspect, whether the composition has any hazardous effects while recycling, while remanufacturing, or whatever the thing which you are doing, that is also very, very important. And ability to select those that best suit the requirement of design. So having access to such information is a very, very important thing. Now, this is just for this. If you see the way the material is developed, it's just that question from Professor Ashby's book. Now, today we are in mainly molecular and information age. Okay, together. Basically, Industry 4.0 is also sitting there at the top, information age. Okay. Now, if you see this, how the materials are getting used over a period of time, and then where the natural ceramics were getting used earlier, but the synthetic ceramics are getting used much more now, and then the vice versa, depending on the availability of the materials, compositions, and the mechanical properties, and other properties available in each and every material. Okay. So it gives you a sense that basically how these are. And now you can clearly see these were natural composites which were biodegradable at that time, but today you use the synthetic composites where basically you design them, you fabricate them, they may be having a lot of environmental effects and other effects on the materials. Okay. So you can clearly look at them.
when it comes to material selection, what are the things to pay attention? This can be looked from various perspectives. But first, when you look at it as a mechanical designer, without bothering about the environmental effects and other things, is one aspect. And then when you look at the, you expand your horizon of looking at where the material is going to be used and what are its impacts, then the thing is different. And all those things, basically, the Professor Ashby's group has done the best work in the world, basically, in my opinion, because, okay, that's a different lot of material from this. Now, if you look at the properties, the material, thermophysical, chemical, and so many others can be written down, okay? But the thing is, cost is also important at every aspect of it. Now, not only that, the availability. We are all talking about that, you know, how long these resources will survive. Okay, that's also important. At the same time, you wanted to minimize the transportation of some of those ores. Like if you see particularly, I was seeing a video about metal forming industry in Japan, Professor Takata may be aware, that they import a lot of materials from Australia, India, and other places, and they process it better than the other world countries, and then they are able to sell back to the other countries. So basically what I meant to say is, it's not only the material, the processing is also involved in that. That's the emphasis which I was trying to make in that. Okay. So, there's a nice movie basically made by Japan Society Technology, Plasticity and Farming, and that they basically code those things. Now, availability and issues taken into consideration of material selection, and the availability, I'm not reading those, and then obviously economics, not only on when you make 1,000 parts to 1,000,000 parts to one part, makes a lot of difference of the same geometry, we all know that, the amount of number of components. But as the society is changing, we are expecting more variety and less number of components of similar nature, variety. Okay, then basically we are moving from mass production to mass customization as we are moving. That also plays a lot of a role in some of these aspects. Another thing is, this is also very, very important, business as well as regulation issues or environmental issues. Basically, yesterday one of our friends was saying government has to play a lot of active role. Yeah, that's a very, very important thing to control a lot of things. Otherwise, if you don't impose, some of the industries may not even follow some of those aspects. So now, is recyclability an issue? Materials hazards, and then liability issues related to a particular material. That's also very, very important. Now, we know how a mechanical engineer, we generate the data and how those will be there and how much cost will be depending on the country, it varies, and depending on the processing, labor costs, everything, a lot of things will vary. Okay. Now, if you buy the same titanium sheet from UK to that of some other country, basically we keep buying, sometimes we pay 3 times more than I buy from UK. Okay. And then the traditional approach which we used to follow is, most design within an organization or a particular class of applications is with a limited number of materials. Basically, they are tested and proven materials. You don't explore beyond those materials. Okay, and that's the way we'll be looking in a very close window. Okay, so this is a proven and well-tested. Why shall I experiment with the other one? So based on what we already comfortable with, that's what exactly what it is. But then, this approach is suitable in applications that are highly codified. Let's say if you take aerospace demand sector, and then experimenting with the materials is a problem until unless you meet some regulations, the reliability needed and other things are different. But when it comes to some of the components, it's not necessary that we have to restrict to that only, but we can get into the other materials and explore whatever the new materials are, the more environmental materials, whatever it is. Okay, so the particularly what I'm talking is a codified, okay, the things. But the introduction of new material would require approval of government regulations whenever you are thinking of this, and you know, aircraft and then some bridges where the
catastrophic failure occurs, then you'll be in trouble. Okay, so those are all the things.
Now, the optimization approach, once again, the referring to Professor Ashby's thing, where this approach is promoted by their group, and then selecting a material based on critical properties with multiple constraints imposed on the selection process. This is what exactly their conventional thing, still without considering the eco-design aspects in it. Okay. Now, they come up with the performance index. Whenever we design a beam, or when you take an automobile, let's say there is a transmission shaft, there is, I'm still talking about the IC engine based, okay, not the EV based, okay. So whenever there are elements, basically each element is supposed to do certain function. Okay, now when you basically look at that, based on your vehicle length and all those things, there are certain constraints. Basically, this cannot be more than this length, this cannot be more than this length. All those constraints will come. You cannot go on playing with that and reduce that as well. And similarly, each component has to do perform certain way, and it has a certain function. So that will play a lot of role in designing and selecting the material as well. So single properties are rarely basis for not just one property, the combination of properties. It's not just Young's modulus, it's not just density, it's not just the strength. Combination of that parameter may be playing a role for in that particular application. That's what I mean to say. Mechanical design may require strength, stiffness, density, corrosion resistance, weldability, and you can go on. Okay. And so the master charts how beam worked out, and then there are various aspects in variety of manufacturing processes as well as in the material selection in this. I'm not going to get into manufacturing processes here. Okay. So what it does is transfers the design requirements, function, constraints, objectives, and what are the free variables. You can optimize them. Okay. Screen using the constraints, rank using the objective, and then finally come up with some materials. Then decide. Now, if you take a simple example, this is once again one of the first examples in Ashby's book which you will see, okay, is transmission loss, heat generated due to electrical resistance of the wire. But at the same time, when a high tension cable is hanging on a transmission line, it sags, and then the mechanical related aspect also will be coming into that. It's not only just the other aspect of it. Okay, I'm just putting one of the constraints. There will be multiple objectives will come into the picture, and then you need to have weight functions and then corresponding things in that. Now, anyways, now when you come up with, basically without going into too much of it, okay, you can look at the copper, silver, and aluminum, and electrical resistivity. And now, obviously, silver is the best, but we cannot do with that. Okay, we all understand why we don't go for it. Okay, and now copper and aluminum, and now depending on the availability, cost, and all those things, and processing. And certain places still aluminum is used, but to minimize further losses, copper is extensively used. We all know that. So it's not only mechanical and all those properties, mechanical, thermal, all aspects, physical properties will play a role while selecting the material for any application. Okay. Now, I had a rush through. I think I spent more time. But if you take any design, but I'm just mentioning the aircraft, which is a wing, is a very, very important part of it. Okay. Now, it has to be stiff, it has to be strong, it has to be tough, it has to be light. Okay. Now, if it is not, what is happening, you can clearly see here. Okay. Then what happens? So you need to have all this data at your hand, and all the data has to be generated. Then you can basically put through some objective criteria, and then you know you can rank them and select them. So, object, function, objective, constraints, and three variables. I don't have to go through what is a function, objective, and all those things. We all know. Then, obviously, we have to come up with a material index. That's the concept which they have proposed, where you combine all those things, material index, for an initial screen. Then once you develop this material index, then you can check, screen the materials which shoots that, and then the
use constraints to eliminate free variables and then optimize them using that particular, either maximize or minimize or, you know, weighted average, depending on the objectives which you have. So, if you take a beam, minimum weight, stiffness, the index parameter will come like this. You can do from our solid mechanics and strength of materials calculations. Okay, but when you say minimum cost, the game may be different. Okay, so that way it will be moving ahead. So, sorry. Now, these are all just Kelly made a table from his book for various constraints, where to maximize, where to minimize when you consider energy and all those things. This is one aspect of material selection is coming in here. Okay, now, then when you look at these materials, these charts are available. Okay, even there is a software available for Granta Design to select most of this. And then you can draw that parameter and then which materials are suitable and then further screen them and then select them based on the requirements. Yeah. Now, I'll leave all the material with you people because I have many slides, but you know, I'm not able to cover all of them. But if you take the material consumption, energy consumption is also important on each and every aspect of it. Now, here if you see the drives, there are new technologies, there is an increase in wealth, and then there is an increase in population, they're all playing, and then overall if you see the world, the education is also getting more and more in the uneducated area of the world. So that's also increasing the usage, and then their aspirations are different. So that's why the effect on the environment is more and more. So this will basically give you a lot of information. We can talk for a few minutes on this particular slide alone. Now, if you see this material life cycle, and they go through the four phases. One is material production phase, product manufacture phase, product use phase, and product disposal phase. But here, we have not listed here use, reuse, refurbish, remanufacture. No, those aspects are not coming. Basically, it's a linear still. Okay, that aspect has not come. Now, if you see, depending on the type of product which you see, there also, if you take aeroplane, if you take the energy consumption, see, the materials and manufacturing and transport may not cost much, but the thing is, during the life cycle, lot of energy is spent on that. Okay, so the emphasis also will be varying. So here in the material selection, you have to, whatever the cost it may be initially, but you would like to minimize the weight and enhance the reliability of the components and all those things. Okay, but when it comes to other objectives, it will be different ballgame. Okay, so depending on the type of thing which you are attempting also makes a lot of difference in this, because there is no single approach for this. So the steps in calculating the eco-indicators for that, okay, were also attempted by them. Data for resources and emissions in all phases are necessary. It's not just only the production phase of the material, but you know, all the four phases which we just mentioned is essential. Impact profile of material normalized by annual burden, but still there is a lot of debate on this. How to come up with those factors, still not done, but there is a proposal on that. And I was taking this, looking at the recent European Union Horizon 2020 proposal, which they submitted report. I'll be quoting one of the slides later. And still a lot of debate on that. And then finally, you have to sum up the contributions with respect to the eco-indicators. Now, another thing is, each phase will have its own environmental aspects, because as I was mentioning earlier, so whether it's in the material stage, or manufacture stage, transportation stage, use stage, disposal stage. But here, once again, if you introduce the circular manufacturing concept, reuse, refurbish, remanufacture related aspects also will come into a picture. That also need to be added. Okay. Then what they did is, the indices to minimize the impact of production phase alone was considered. And now, if you want to minimize the energy content for a given tensile stiffness, you can come up with where HM, embodied energy per kg of the material which you generate. Only the material production stage, not all the other stages are not considered here, the later part of it. But there are attempts, and then there are things, progress took place in various aspects, even include the later three stages, even the remanufacturing, reuse stage as well in this.
Okay,
now in that, if you see in the metals what will happen, polymers, these are the charts which are available today, and then you can screen them and you can select a group of materials, then you can go through a lot of complicated analysis and then analyze and then come up with the optimal things. Then actually based on those, they have generated a chart where the non-technical ceramics, technical ceramics, non-technical means the bio part of ceramics, basically natural ceramics will be coming in most of the time where they degrade. Okay, the cycle takes place. Yesterday they were showing the both sides, biological cycle and then the other side. Okay, and not only that, here the stone is different, but the concrete is different here. Concrete has its own effects because the cement is coming into that. Okay, so those aspects also have to be considered that. The stone becomes a natural part of it, but the cement which is coming in from the byproduct of a lot of the steel industry and other industry, will have its own CO2 effects and other effects. Basically, considering them is not very, very straightforward, but one can think in that direction. And if you take the strength aspect, energy per meter cube of it, then they have basically sorted out the variety of materials in this, and then these are available as software assets for all of us. Basically, we can buy them and use them, and they keep updating all those charts in the Granta design software. Okay. Now, when it comes to material selection in the circular aspect, when we move from very traditional approach, where engineering optimization and all which we used to do, to the eco level and to the circular level now. Okay. So where you can clearly see that the reuse, remanufacture and recycling have to come into the picture. But in each of these stages, whenever you are doing the transportation plays and corresponding emissions, other things plays a lot of role in that. Okay. So here the eco audit model, the four phases, all four phases of it. So what they do is, in which phase of that there will be more usage of the energy, and all those things are basically worked out. And then here, it's not straightforward. We have to have understanding, all of us know, from thermodynamics to solid mechanics to the flow, to the heat transfer, to that of recycling and materials. Every aspect of our fundamental sciences will be necessary to calculate all those requirements. Otherwise, we cannot go to that. Okay, this might look very nice on paper, but you know, calculation is not that straightforward. Okay. So, the recently in 2020 EU Origin project, they have come up with a material circularity indicator, and I don't have access to the actual paper because I have got some additional material quoted here and there. Okay. I'm only quoting this. I also don't have very well understanding of this expression compared to whatever I have presented earlier. Okay. But I wanted to show this, where they have come up with the material circularity indicator for a product, where they take all the bill of materials. Once they take the bill of materials, each component is taken, each component is analyzed in all the four phases. Okay. Then you can clearly see here, friends, it varies from 0 to 1. The high, the MCI score means better the material. That's what exactly they will be saying. But here you see that V is the fraction of the original material which is used as input from the virgin sources. That is basically where the ore is taken, processed, and then that material is used. W is the unrecoverable waste circulated from the waste going to the landfill of that particular product. And also considers the average of waste generated in the recycling process, WC, and the waste generated produced by the recycled content used as the feedstock, W. Yeah. See, M is the product mass totally, denotes how the lifespan and intensity of the product. Yesterday, Professor Takata was mentioning about one may be using very his own car, and then once in very sparingly he uses that, someone may be using that through 10 hours, 12 hours a day, and then intensity, those factors are also came into the picture in this particular f of x. Is a variable, basically they have come up with some schemes. I don't have access to the full paper because that's why, yeah. This is the main thing. That's why they came up with this particular index, which is known as material circularity indicator. Then, I'll just go to something, and you take everyone, basically think of automobiles, first thing which comes to our mind. And so this is basically 2016 paper of Professor Andrew Nee, Singapore, NUS Singapore, where he really consolidates whatever the work will tell them. Whenever you are evaluating the materials in the perspective of remanufacturing alone, not the reuse, not the other aspects, and then he lists the durability of the components, cleanability, the restorability, upgradability of the components, environmental health and safety of the components, and then a nice perspective, and they come up with an index for the remanufacturing. I'm not showing all that mathematical things which they have used, basically combining with a matrix form, linear algebra form, okay, where they do that, and then they basically say that if you use these materials this way, this will be very, very good. And finally, whenever we are doing this, obviously I have not mentioned the chemistry part anywhere throughout this. I mentioned mainly about the mechanical, you know, aspects of it. But this is also very, very important. Choose the right material for circular manufacturing, safe and circular materials, mainly both for human as well as environment. Material, but mainly the thing is the chemical composition of that is a very, very important, what sort of hazardous effects, what sort of environmental effects, which does it have, and all those is very, very important. And then whenever you are choosing the material in a product, the compatibility between the materials which are working, that is also very, very important. We know when we choose a bush and the shaft and all those things, you know, there has to be compatibility between those materials, because you cannot exactly randomly choose best for one and best for other, because they have to be working together. Okay, that is one thing. And then this is, I think, my last slide. Okay, I think there's one. The recycling point of view, there's a fantastic handbook of recycling published by Elsewhere in 2014, okay, by Oler and others, where they will be talking about basically when it is steel recycling to aluminum recycling, plastics recycling, and other, around 35 chapters are there, various energies starting from thermodynamic principles, where the energy is coming from, and it goes to remanufacturing, reuse, and all those things. But it's very time consuming to get through that. If occasion comes, we can get into that aspect at a later stage. Now, I was going through last night, to the net, if at all I missed some of the things, but this paper I found last night in the Nature 2016, okay, I'll conclude my talk with that, okay, where it says, the using resources for the longest time possible could cut in some of these nations, okay, the particular developed nations, emissions by 70%, increase their workforce by 4%, and greatly less than the waste. That's the statement, concluding statement made by that. But if you see that, the mainly, you can look at the figure here, where the innovations are necessary, where the extracted resources will come, and all those aspects, and they're listed here. But the mainly, one of the things which he says is when it comes to the recycling, the separation and then extracting the material, even from the e-waste, copper and then polymer, everything is combined. Okay, and now separating them is a very, very important thing, and then reusing them. So he makes a statement at the end, the lot of research is needed from the various scientific and engineering communities where depolymerize, dealloy, delaminate, decoat, he lists a lot of them, of the materials which you use when it comes to the recycling of
those materials. With this quote, I'll end my talk. Thanks for your kind attention.
Basically, I will go to this. Basically, one thing that might be happening is one thing is the reuse, other one might be because they might be even giving incentives to return it, and then, you know, so that when they're buying the new product, they'll buy their own product. You know, some of those schemes also might be coming into the picture where they can reprocess. But this is all of the thought process. I can quickly look into that.
What kind of software do you use to choose the materials? Because this is the graphs, it's intense.
I only teach this, okay, for the students, okay. I don't work in this domain at all, my research, okay. So, but the thing is, the best one, basically, as far as I know, there is one in the material-wise, okay. Another one is the Granta Design for Rationalist Group. These two I'm aware, that's it, okay.
LCA is a different game.
And the material solution.
If you go to LCA, even Siemens has a software, and then many others have software. You know, that's a different one. Yeah, LCM and LCA is a different.
Okay, further questions? Okay, so thank you very much.
Thank you.
Professor.